Welcome to A New Lens with Common Good Capital, where we talk with investors, RIAs, fund managers, and philanthropists about their experiences within different impact investing themes, as well as explore the power of stewardship and capital. I'm your host, Jeff Schaefer, CEO of Common Good Capital, and I am here today with Jerome Ringo. And we had the pleasure of being introduced sometime last year, and I think you'll understand why I wanted everybody to get to know him as a person, but then also what he and his group are out there doing. Today, he is the chairman of Zoetic Global. I'm not going to give you his background because I will not do it justice, so I'm sure he'll give us some of that. The mission of Zoetic Global is to revolutionize the energy sector through innovative solutions that unleash the power of renewable resources. There's a little bit more to it than that, but that's high level. Full transparency, my wife and I did invest in Zoetic Global late last year or beginning. No, I guess it was late last year. So I just want that to be clear. So, Jerome, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff. Happy to be here.
And I'll just give everybody a heads up. Jerome is getting better from COVID. So if his voice is not normal, and hopefully we'll get through this quickly for you. But I have to say one thing. So when we first met, we met in a Panera's, and somehow, and I'm sure it'll come out, we started talking about Roseburg, Oregon, which is where I grew up. Nobody knows Roseburg, Oregon, but Jerome, you know Roseburg, Oregon. So why do you know Roseburg?
Quite well. As we acquired the refrigeration technology, which is a flagship technology of Zoetic, the inventor and the founder of the company that created the refrigeration was based and lived in Roseburg, Oregon. His manufacturing facility, his research laboratory is in Roseburg, out in Happy Valley. So it was ironic that you, Jeff, were from Roseburg, yep. Very small town, yep. South of Eugene, Oregon. And that's where we actually got our start and is a flagship of our portfolio.
Let me just take us back for a second. Give us a little bit of background on yourself, where you grew up, where you went to school, and then just a little bit about your career.
Well, I'm from Lake Charles, Louisiana. I grew up in Louisiana, worked in the petrochemical industry for 22 years, oil and gas, both in refineries, petrochemical plants, worked offshore drilling, offshore production in the Gulf of Mexico, spent the last 5 years in Southeast Asia in the oil and gas industry, working in Singapore and Malaysia. I went to Louisiana Tech University, became the president of the Louisiana Wildlife Federation, which was the largest environmental conservation organization in the state of Louisiana. Later became chairman, a member of the board and chairman of the National Wildlife Federation, which is the nation's largest member-supported conservation organization in the world. At the time that I was chair, we had 5 million members and about 830 employees. We also, under our umbrella, had National Wildlife Productions, which was responsible for documentaries on Discovery, Animal Planet, and a number of documentaries that were valuable to conservation. Also was part of the first U.S. delegation on climate, went to the first climate conference and have attended all climate conferences except Paris, all the way up to the latest climate conference in Dubai, and will be in the climate conference, the COP conference next year in Azerbaijan. So I will be attending that. Also became the chairman of the Apollo Alliance, which was a coalition on clean energy that was formed in 2005. I was asked to build a coalition on clean energy of about 250,000 people. I slightly exceeded that number and built a coalition to 19 million, which became the largest coalition on clean energy in history. It engaged companies and faith groups and unions and educators, all types of people to promote clean energy as an economic stimulant to help the America and this country and the entire North America stimulate their economies. After Apollo Alliance, I formed Zoetic. My co-founder, Avery Hong, and I got together. Avery lives in Cleveland, Ohio. Avery is the CEO, but we co-founded Zoetic with the intent of creating a solutions provider to meet what we consider to be the greatest needs of the planet at that time. That was the lack of clean water and the lack of energy. 2 billion people do not have access to clean water, can't get a clean glass of water. Yet there are over a billion people who have no access to electricity. So we wanted to try and meet those needs, especially in developing countries on the African continent, Asia, India, and Central South America, and try to meet those needs. We vetted about 150 technologies, looking for what we consider to be the best in class of those technologies. And from that, the refrigerant was sort of floated to the top, considering the fact that the climate change conferences had required that Freon be banned as a refrigerant because it discharged so much CO2 to the atmosphere and had adverse impacts on the ozone layer. We were fortunate to be able to acquire from the gentleman in Roseburg, Oregon, the refrigeration technology. So that was very, very helpful for us in that we were promoting a technology that met the new environmental standards. But the benefit of the technology beyond that was it was the only, or it is the only refrigerant in the world that when you install it into any refrigeration unit, whether it be in an automobile, a building, a ship, a cold storage unit, a Walmart, does not matter. It can literally reduce the energy costs by 30, 40%, some cases 20%. But any major reduction in energy costs is a benefit to any company, country, municipality. It impacts the bottom line. Fortunately, as I said, we're the only refrigerant in the world that can do that, which makes us extremely unique. That is the flagship of our portfolio, as well as other incredible technologies. We have hydrogen that is a separation process where we extract the hydrogen from water and we use the hydrogen for energy generation, and we process the water, clean it up, and send the water back to its original source, or to be used as a potable or fresh water for drinking or for normal use. That is a benefit because municipalities would no longer have to spend money to process their water. They simply send it to us. We extract the hydrogen, we generate electricity, and send the water back to them clean. So that too is a benefit. So we're impacting the world. We made an announcement at the COP conference in Dubai that we joined with a group from Saudi Arabia that we're going to impact the Middle East that has great need for electricity, considering and cooling, considering the fact that 80% of the electricity cost in the Middle East is cooling. So we're going to have a great impact on them, and the fact that we can provide clean cooling power to them, but also reduce the cost of that power. So that's a little bit about my background. I've worked very closely with Vice President Al Gore on climate issues, was part of the Climate Alliance. I appeared in his documentary, An Inconvenient Truth. I taught 2 years as the McCluskey Fellow at Yale University, spent 2 years at the Brin School of the Environment teaching in the University of California, Santa Barbara. So I have a pretty colorful experience in the green movement, and I continue to apply that to help bring value to what we at Zoetic are doing today.
I think you quickly realize why I wanted to have you on. You are clearly doing stuff, and you know, as somebody who knows you, I don't know you extremely well, but just to hear your story again, it's fascinating to see you started in petrochemicals and what you're doing today. It's almost like you've been in this training ground to get you to exactly where you are. So how would you best describe who you are in the context of where you're at in your life journey?
It's interesting you mentioned my background in the petrochemical industry, and you are correct in that it was a training ground. I believe that the many experiences that I had in both the operations, production in the oil and gas industry gave me a unique understanding of both sides of the industry, the goods and the bads, the production side on the value of the products of which they produced, and on the opposite side, the impact of producing those products on the people, of course, that lived in closest proximity to those industries, which got me very much involved in the environmental justice industry and how poor people and people of color were mostly adversely impacted. And so it has brought me full circle getting involved in the environmental movement. I had a real understanding of both the environmental movement and the petrochemical oil industry, what their ideas were, what their beliefs were, what their reasoning was, and how we can, what needed to be done to pull them together, build some bridges between the two so that we could reap the benefits of the products of which industry produces, but demand that it be done in an environmentally friendly manner, that it did not have adverse impact on people.
What would you say to somebody who goes, you know what? All this stuff, I don't believe it. You know, it's there's just some agenda behind it. What would be your short answer on that?
Agenda behind?
Yeah, there's, you know, the whole conspiracy that it's all about some green, you know, the Green New Deal. It's not real. Do you have any short answers you'd say to somebody who says that?
Well, there's a need. I mean, look at the impacts of climate. Look at the fact that statistically, when you look at the disproportionate impact of the pollution on people of color and poor people, there's more asthma in poor communities than there are not. There is more pollution in poor communities than there are not. Two out of three African Americans live within the same zip code of a landfill. When you want to find a sewage treatment plant, you don't go into a rich white neighborhood, you go into poor black neighborhoods. Climate change is real. We're experiencing it right now. I live in southern Louisiana along the Gulf of Mexico. I'm an evacuee of Hurricane Rita, Gustav, Ike, Wilma, Katrina. Go down the line. We've been hit by hurricane after hurricane. 2020 was the first city, my city in Lake Charles, Louisiana, was the first city in the world to be hit by two Category 5 hurricanes in the same season, direct hits. We're seeing warmer summers, colder winters. Right now, today in Lake Charles, Louisiana, it's 17 degrees. We've broken a record on cool. The Arctic is melting. I've been to the Arctic. I've been to Arctic Village. I've stood on the glaciers that are melting. We are experiencing unbelievable weather conditions, drought in Africa like we've never seen before. I was on the phone yesterday with a group from Nigeria and from Ghana, and they have been without water for months as a result of the drought. So we're seeing catastrophic weather events that are not part of a cycle. They are clearly because the temperature is rising. We sought to lower the CO2 discharge to the atmosphere. We sought to not allow the Earth's temperature to rise 1.5 degrees Celsius in the next several years. And already we've risen 1.2 degrees Celsius. So we're not on the fix end of the problem. We are still contributing to the problem. So it's not a hoax, it's very real. And we're seeing the impact on a daily basis.
I appreciate your thoughts on that. So I asked this question to everybody, and it's actually interesting asking you because you literally do think from a global perspective. How are you trying to change the world?
Well, Zoetic is on a mission to impact the masses. When we talk about refrigerants that can curb the impacts of climate change, when we talk about a refrigerant that can stimulate your economy by saving you money, create carbon credits that can be traded on the market for money, stimulating economies of the poor, helping people rise up on the economic ladder, that has tremendous impact. When you are embracing, as we are at Zoetic, technologies that create more affordable energy with hydrogen, technologies that can clean water and make water more available, that we can manufacture and ship to areas that need it the most, that is impactful. We believe that we can impact hundreds of millions, if not billions of people with these technologies. We've also engaged Zoetic Biopharma, where we're going to be creating technologies that can supercharge medicines and pharmaceutical products to help them work more effectively and efficiently. So we are about impacting the masses. Surely we want to impact each one. So through our education programs, each one will teach one. But it's important that we impact masses of people as the population of the world continues to grow at a super, super a number. The African nations are looking to possibly double their population within the next 50 years. And we want to make sure that we meet those needs and meet the demand as best we can. So our technologies are going to do that. We are already in the process of implementation of many of these technologies, and we're very, very optimistic and excited about those.
So I actually just came back from a conference, came back this morning because my flight was canceled, but was on a panel with a guy from Africa who's, they do private equity. And so I know you have a passion for Africa. We have a passion for Africa, but I don't think most people realize, like you just stated some numbers, like the opportunity, the need and the opportunity for Africa as a whole. I mean, they got this huge, the huge population. They're like one of the fastest growing family formations. I mean, there's just massive need and opportunity. What is one of your passions for Africa?
One thing I've learned, I've made 89 trips to Africa. And I think if I've gotten anything from Africa is that everything that I was ever taught about Africa as a young person was not true. Africa is an incredible continent, has tremendous resources that much of the world wants and needs and uses. The African people are wonderful people, very intelligent, much of which is very educated. The challenge in Africa is that there's simply no job opportunities. Often they are being robbed by colonialists and countries that have colonized their nations and are taking full advantage of reparations and a demand for payback. And it's really a political mess there. Yet the country has continued to survive. 60% of the population of Africa is under 50 years old. So you've got a growth process that's second to none. They're facing the years and years of drought, climate change impacts, economic impacts. And so Africa is a very challenged continent with a huge population, but yet with the resources it has, I believe is a country that offers more hope where there's hopelessness than any other continent in the world. I am currently the trade ambassador for the Pan-African Parliament for all 54 countries of Africa and their trade with the West, which in the past has not happened to a degree that I believe reflects the amount of trade that have come from other countries. So we want to increase that relationship in a very special way, but not take from Africa, but be a resource for Africa. And I look forward to being a part of that growth process in the future.
One of the things we talk about on this podcast is just the power of capital. You obviously have traveled the world. You have your own personal story. When did you realize the power of capital and what does that mean to you?
It's clear that you must have capital to be able to move any initiative forward, as in anything else. It takes capital to grow economies. It takes capital to feed your family. It takes capital to move technologies forward, to research and develop those technologies, to advance them to commercialization. So the whole capital idea is critical. When I first drew up the model for Zoetic, the idea was to bring together inventors along with capital providers, along with customers. And it was a triangle of what I consider to be the winning element to help stimulate economies and help curb the impacts of climate change. But without any one of those points, you could not be successful. So capital is extremely important. You can have the technology, you can have the customer, but without capital, you can't move either. So it is critically important that those that represent the capital market and provide the funding for these opportunities to take place are pivotal in the success of any development opportunity.
So we're going to assume that Zoetic Global will continue to do wonderful things, will continue to garner more and more capital. How do you think about stewardship?
Well, stewardship is important. I'm a man of faith. I believe that we as people have been given a responsibility by God to be stewards of the earth, to be caretakers of the earth. We are stewards of the planet. We are stewards of our nations. We are stewards of our states and stewards of our communities. We have that responsibility. If we would all just sit back and do nothing, we would be in much bigger trouble than we are today. So I feel a moral responsibility to do my part in the environment, economically, environmentally. I feel a responsibility. And I think that we all, as parts that inhabit the earth, have a stewardship responsibility. And that if we all just do a small part collectively, we can solve many of the issues and the problems that we're faced with today.
Just want to say I appreciate your willingness to step out in faith and in an action to do what you're doing. You're trying to do big things and influence the world in mighty ways. This next question and my last question is, it's always a hard one, so you can answer it. If you could have, you know, a dream come true for your life, what would that be?
Well, I think if I had the magic wand to fix the world, which includes my family, whether it be family, whether it be leadership in countries or people in countries, people in industrialized nations, people in developing countries, people in the financial space, or people that are in the industrial space, doesn't matter. If everyone embraced love as a primary goal in life, where we love the way God has taught us to love, where we love the way God loves us, if we all embrace love, and not fighting one among another, being able to respectfully express our differences with the goal in mind of making the world better, we would all be better off. But so much of what we do is not driven by a passion for love. And all that I do, all that Zoetic does, is driven by wanting to make the world better. We want to make the world better. And we do it because of a love. I believe that if I was asked to do what I do for no pay, a no monetary benefit, I would do it, because this is what we were placed here as stewards of the earth to do. I just wish that everyone in decisions that we make, whether it's in the boardroom or whether it's in our homes, are driven by love. Hopefully one day we'll get to that place.
Such a simple word, but sure hard to live out. Or it shouldn't be, but it sure seems to be a tough thing to live out.
Tough thing to live out. Pray we'll get there.
Well, look, I just want to say thanks. I know you've got some big trips coming up. Anything you want to say in closing?
Jeff, I just want to say to you, thank you for what you're doing. It was a pleasure to meet such a like-minded person. When I met you, your heart is in love. The fact that the work that you are promoting in Africa says a lot about you. And the fact that you are here in the United States from a small town in Central Oregon, but yet you have a heart that is global, is a great reflection of who you are. I wish that there were more Jeff Schaefers in the world. Mm. Hopefully, and I pray that we'll get there. But I believe that with you doing your part, I doing my part, and a few others in the world that do, that collectively will make a difference.
It means a lot. I appreciate it. And as we've talked about before, one of these days, I'm going to Roseburg with you.
Let's do it. Okay. Let's do it.
Well, appreciate your time and your willingness and your knowledge to do this. For those who are listening, don't forget to subscribe to A New Lens with Common Good Capital on your podcast app of choice. And please rate and review us on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. This will help new listeners find the show and hopefully put them on a path to a more fulfilling portfolio within the impact investing space. Till next time, I'm Jeff Schaefer. This podcast is a production of Common Good Capital and does not constitute an offer or a solicitation of an offer. Such offer would only be made through a private placement memorandum. Prospective investors in private placement securities should be aware that making an investment is speculative and involves a high degree of risk, including the risk of losing all or a portion of an investment. Investments of this nature are illiquid and subject to substantial restrictions upon transferability.